lesson today will be on the subject of you hear such strange things about the Church of Christ. You hear such strange things about the Church of Christ. It is a series of lessons that has at least two general purposes. One, it will help Christians, members of the body of Christ, to understand that the things that we preach and teach, believe and practice, the biblical, the scriptural basis upon which they are done. Two, it will help men and women who are not members of the Church of Christ to understand the scriptural basis upon which we believe what we believe, preach and teach what we preach and teach, and take the stand that we take. You hear such strange things about the Church of Christ. Jesus Christ was a very controversial figure. Jesus Christ was much talked about. Yes, he was a talked about person. This was not by intent. It's not that Jesus Christ just purposely went out there to do things to let people talk about him. Christ was much spoken about because of these reasons. One, because of misinformation. People had wrong information about what they heard of Christ. Another reason is because of misunderstanding what they heard about Christ and what he did. In many cases, it was not related properly, and therefore it was difficult for people to arrive at a healthy understanding about him. But not only misinformation and misunderstanding, Christ was much spoken about because of his uncompromising attitude in respect to how the Almighty God is going to save men and women today. The old ministry of Jesus Christ, he had a lot of problem with the religious leaders of his time in respect to what Jesus Christ taught about the law and in respect to what Jesus Christ taught about the purpose of his coming. But there is another reason for which men and women, for which men and women spoke about Christ, and that was because of their preconceived ideas. That is, they had a concept in respect to the type of person the Christ should be. And when Christ came claiming to be the Christ, they knew that there is no way he could be the Christ. They were wrong. So they spoke about him the more. Mary, we must keep in mind, Christianity is unique in this world. We have a problem. You and I know nothing except this life. And because we know nothing except this life, we form an attachment to this life that sometimes comes between us and the attachment we should form to the gospel and to Christ. That's what creates lukewarm Christians. That's what makes people backslide. Because we know nothing except this life. And we have, many of us have not allowed our lives to be conducted by faith. We walk by and not by sight. You see, we are walking by sight, and for many of us, 90% of our walk is by sight. What we see, hear, and know. And we have not permitted the gospel of Christ and Christianity to transform us into that higher level where we really walk by faith and form deep attachment to what faith is teaching us. We are saying to you, therefore, pay attention to Jesus Christ and to the gospel. Trust, pray to God to help you to develop more trust in what the Bible teaches, so that you will walk more by faith and not by sight. Jesus Christ knew that some strange things were being said about him. But it was not until Jesus Christ came into the course of Caesarea Philippi that he confronted his disciples with some of the strange things that were being said about him. In the book of Matthew chapter 16 and around verse 13, Christ is going to bring all the talk around town about him. He's going to bring it to the forefront. Let us hear the passage.
When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying,
that might not work it. Yeah. When Jesus Christ came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, notice, Brother Wade, he knew that they were attributing different character to him. So he did not ask, is there his people in the community talking about me? No. Who are they saying that I am? Because he knew that there are confusions There were confusion about him. Read, brother.
And they said, some say that thou art John.
Notice his disciples were well up to date in respect to what was being said about Christ. Some say you are
John the Baptist.
John the Baptist, who they had killed, he come back from the dead in the person of Jesus Christ.
Some Elias.
Some say you are Elijah. He too came back from the dead in the person of Christ. Read on.
And others, Jeremiah.
Some say you are the prophet Jeremiah.
Or one of the prophets.
You are one of the prophets.
He saith unto them,
Jesus Christ said, but you too are wondering about me. You know, and that is right. They were confused too. He said, but whom do you
say that I am?
And Peter is always at the forefront of things. And we compliment him for that because he meant well. Read, brother.
And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ.
You are the Christ.
The Son of the Living God.
The Son of the Living God. You know what, by the way? Peter got it right. But it's not because Peter was so smart. So knowledgeable. Notice where this knowledge came from. Read.
And Jesus answered and said unto him.
Jesus Christ answered and said to Peter,
blessed art thou.
Blessed are you,
Simon
Bar-Jonah.
For flesh and blood.
That's right. It was not as a result of your scholarship or experience or geniusness that this knowledge comes to you. May I, brothers and sisters? Today we depend on God, the Holy Spirit, to help us to know truth. The more you put out effort, is the more the Almighty God will expand your understanding of His will. The more you take for granted that you know enough to take you to heaven, it's the more you will live in ignorance. Read, brother.
For flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven.
That's right. So Christ knew that things were being said about him. Use the opportunity here as he came into the course of Caesarea Philippi to address it. In this regard, the church of Christ is an unfortunate, or is it fortunate? As its founder, Jesus Christ. And it is usually for the same reason. What do you mean, brother Mitchell? The same reason men and women were talking about Jesus Christ is the same reason they are talking about the body of Christ, the church of Christ. Misinformation. Misunderstanding. Coupled with the uncompromising stand that any true congregation of the church of Christ take in respect to the fact that God has one way to save all men. Plus preconceived ideas in men in respect to, you see, we live in a world where every man, every woman wants his church. The church of his choice. And as the church of Christ tells men and women that will never work, people are saying, what a peculiar and ignorant people. Are we there? For example, among the strange things people are saying about the church of Christ Remember, this will be about a 3 or 4 part lesson. Today is just one lesson. And we'll be listing some things that all over the world you go, you will hear these things being said about the Lord's church. And we'll be giving you the biblical basis so that this will put you in a position that when you hear these things, you can enlighten men and women. The visitors you bring, they will be enlightened. So number one, among the strange things that people are saying about the Church of Christ is, you people that call yourself the Church of Christ, you do not believe the entire Bible. You reject the Old Testament. I find this a strange accusation, because we do believe that the 39 books of the Old Testament, like the 27 books of the New, they are the revelation of God and they are inspired. We believe that the Old Testament is God's revelation, inspired. Every true Church of Christ believes that. Are we there? 2 Timothy 3:16, 2 Peter 1:21, quick. 2 Timothy 3, and what we are doing here is giving you the basis upon which we believe that the entire Old Testament are God's revelation, and we believe in it. 2 Timothy 3:50, 2 Peter, and chapter 1:21. Let us hear it.
And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scripture.
From a child you know the Holy Scripture,
which are able to make thee
wise. Right? At this time, brothers and sisters, when Paul wrote to Timothy about the Holy Scripture, the word Scripture means writing, really. The Holy Writing. This includes the Old Testament. In fact, the emphasis was on the Old Testament. While it includes the New Testament, the New Testament was just being in the process of being written. But may I just throw this out? I'd like to give brata. That's how kind I am. You will be challenged out there that when the New Testament, when passage like this speak about the Scripture, it refers to the Old Testament only. You will hear that. That's false. That's false. And hopefully not long before now, I will present a series, probably a 2 or 3 part lesson, to show that when the New Testament speaks a Scripture, it even includes the spoken word. But we won't get into that now. But what they are saying when Paul spoke about the Scripture here, the brother is reading from 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 15, I said. That from a child thou hast known the Holy Scripture, which is able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus.
That's right.
All that includes the Old Testament Scripture. Let us hear the one in 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 21.
For a prophecy came not in old time.
Prophecy, old time. So you know, automatically this must include the writing of old time, the Old Testament. For the prophecy came not
in old time by the will of men.
By the will of men.
But holy men of God speak as they were moved by the Holy Ghost.
Y'all hear that? So this is scripture. We believe in this. However, while we believe in the 39 books of the Old Testament, profitable study of the scripture requires that we rightly, help you here, divide. Are we there? Profitable. If you are going to profit from the studying of God's word, the very word of God tells us to divide rightly. Are we there? Among the things you must do to profit from the Bible is remember always that there are two major divisions in the Bible. Not division made by man, but by God. Are we there? Are we there? The Bible is divided into Old Testament and New Testament. It's not man who created those two major divisions. In fact, if you don't make that division, rightly dividing, you will study the Bible from now until thy kingdom come and just be in confusion if you don't make that division. Are we there? Not only that, in fact, on that, let us look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, and verse 6 through verse 8, and verse 11, on this major division. Old and New Testament, not on a man put this like that. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3, did I say 6 through 8? Let us hear it.
Who also hath made us able ministers.
The apostle, the inspired apostle of Jesus Christ, is writing to the Corinthians. And he said, who is that? The Almighty God, Jesus Christ, made them
ministers of the New Testament.
Of what?
Of the New Testament.
Of what?
The New Testament.
Somebody didn't hear that. He didn't say Old Testament. He didn't say the law. He made us ministers of the New Testament.
Not of the letter.
Not that refers to the Old Testament. What a plain distinction. Don't move. Able ministers, we are not here to teach and preach and to emphasize the Old Testament or the letter. The word letter you are taking from the fact that it was written on the stone. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit.
But of the Spirit, for the
letter. You see, the word Spirit is the fact that the Holy Spirit administers and reveal the New Testament system. The Old Testament system was revealed rather by angels. That's right. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. Read on.
For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life.
That's right. Do I need to go in detail in respect to... You see, the Old Testament system only condemns, bring you under condemnation and therefore under death. You are always under death sentence when you live under the Old Testament system. That's right, because the Old Testament was never meant to solve our sin problem. It was meant only to show us that you are sin, and you're under condemnation. It only condemns and therefore kills. What verse did you start?
That was 6.
Read on.
But if the ministration of death,
if the ministration of death,
written and engraved
in stone, brother, you see how plain God's word is? Mm-hmm. Huh? You know exactly that it is talking about the Ten Commandments. Is that right? If the ministration of death, wait, what are you talking about, Brother Mitchell? That yes, we believe in the Old Testament. We accept the Old Testament. But we are saying that intelligence, common sense, teaches that we must, if we are going to study God's Word profitably, we must acknowledge that there is a major division in the Bible. That is, you have Old Testament and you have New Testament. That's what these passages are on. For if the ministration of death written and engraved in stone, read not,
was glorious.
Notice the tense. Not that it is glorious. Huh? It was something of the past. Was glorious. So that
the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses. For the glory of his countenance.
For the glory of his countenance. But watch here. That glory was not meant to last. Which glory
was to be done away.
Was to be done away. Brother Wade, it's not just the glory, you know, it's that which brings the glory. All of it going to be done away with. Yeah, that system. Read on. What verse is that?
That's 7.
Read on.
How shall not the ministration of the Spirit...
Wait, you notice what it called it, brother? The ministration of the Spirit. That's the New Testament. That's the Gospel. Huh? How shall not the ministration of the Spirit
be rather glorious?
Be more glorious.
For if the ministration of condemnation be glorious.
You see, it call it the ministration of death, it call it the ministration of condemnation. Didn't I tell you before that all the Old Testament did was to show you that you sin and place you under condemnation? That's why it was ministration of death.
For if the ministration of condemnation be glory,
uh-huh,
much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory.
Thanks be to God. Look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. We are still on the fact that if you are going to profit from a study of the Bible, you have to always study with these two major divisions in mind. Let us hear the passage.
Then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God.
Uh-huh.
He taketh away the first, that he may establish the
right
second.
Away. He could not effectively do God's will if he did not first deal with this. He had to take away the first what?
The first testament.
Testament of covenant. Then he's now in the position to establish this one. Read, brother.
He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second.
Listen carefully now.
By the which will we are sanctified.
You didn't get that. By the which will, that is the will of the second covenant, we are saved. You get it? By the which will we are saved. Isn't that what it says?
We are sanctified through the offering.
We are sanctified. That means we are sanctified by the will of the second covenant. What verse is that?
10. Through the offering of the body of Christ once for all.
Mm-hmm. Not only you must see that
there is a whole testament.
Mm-hmm.
ready to expand so many things. There are those who are fasting like this, but I would have to hear so let us move on. Not all the Bible is the Bible. My God into Old and New Testament. You are also a prophetic study. Acknowledge that they are free.
Dispensation.
Yes. That's right. There might be God's or rather benefits man in what we call, what is known, what we see as the patriarchal dispensation.
What does that mean, Brother Mitchell? It was the time when the Almighty God dealt only or largely with the head of the household. And in most cases, it was the father, hence patriarch. That was called the patriarchal dispensation.
That was from creation to Moses.
You have to acknowledge this. Not only that, I said three dispensation. One, the patriarchal from creation to Moses. Then you have the second, the Moisical dispensation from Moses up to, I can say Christ, but let me say up to John the Baptist. That's the Moisical dispensation. When the Almighty God selected one nation to deal with. The Israelite nation. Are we all there? That dispensation lasted from the children of Israel left Egypt up to the ministry of John the Baptist. Is it Mark 16:16? I think that's what I want. The law and the prophet. Do I have the right passage? Luke 16:16. The law and the prophet.
The law and the prophets were until John.
Why don't you hesitate to read it? Like it, not did it? The law and the prophet was?
Or until John.
Notice the word until. It means up to that point. Jesus Christ is teaching here. The law and the prophet was until John. After John, something else going to step in. The kingdom of God is preached. And men press into it. That is the Moisical dispensation. Then we have the third dispensation, and that is the Christian dispensation. You have to recognize this when you study the Bible. Otherwise, you are in a lot of problem. In fact, let us look at some passages here relevant. Not only the one that we have just mentioned. The first passage we want to look at is Ephesians chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. And these dispensations,
having made known unto us.
Listen carefully.
The ministry.
Having made known unto us
the mystery of His will.
The mystery of His will.
According to His good pleasure. Which He has purposed in Himself.
Watch here now. Read on.
That in the dispensation of the fullness of time.
Wait. Somebody didn't get that. That in the dispensation of the fullness of time,
He might gather together.
He might gather together
in one all things.
In one person, one church, one doctrine, one worship, one plan of salvation. All things
in Christ,
in Jesus Christ,
both which are in heaven and which are on earth.
Wait, let us go back over that passage. We are talking about the Bible teaches and explain to us that there are different dispensations, and it is saying something now. Wait. I need to write this. That is the Christian. The Christian dispensation, or the dispensation of Christ. Wait. That is what under consideration in the passage. Quick, brother.
That in the dispensation of the fullness of times.
Wait. You need to understand that statement. That statement is telling us that this dispensation is the culmination of all dispensations. That's why it is called the dispensation of the
fullness of time.
All dispensation culminate in other one, yeah. Sorry for my bad language. In this one. That's right. That in the dispensation of the fullness of time,
He might gather together.
That's what He's doing now, you know. That's why we are preaching. That the Almighty God may gather, bring those who are going to be saved. You see, and this is why, when you make sure you understand what worship is about, and that worship is important, and that you will work with God in God's effort to gather all things together. He's doing this through the church, you know, and through the preaching of the gospel. That is why when your bench is empty, you're sending a bad message to those whom God wants to gather to Him. You get it? That He may gather together.
In one.
As I said, one Savior. Are we all there? One church. Are we all there? One plan of salvation. One worship. Are we all there? That He may gather together in one.
All things in Christ.
All things in Jesus Christ.
Both which are in heaven.
Both which are in heaven.
And which are on earth.
And which are on earth.
Even
Which are in heaven, Brother Mitchell? Oh, Lord of mercy, you're pulling my tongue. Didn't you learn in the book of Hebrews that when we become Christian, we come to an innumerable, help me here, somebody, host of angels? Oh, Lord of mercy. That's right, brothers and sisters. So we are at the end of the dispensation, and it is this dispensation. It is in this time that in Jesus Christ and the gospel, the Almighty God is gathering together all things. Are we there? Yes, Old and New Testament. Patriarchal dispensation, Mosaical dispensation, the Christian dispensation. Are we all there? The Old Testament tells of the patriarchs. It tells of Moses. It tells of the children of Israel. The New Testament now reveals the end of Moses and the law, and the beginning and the coming of Jesus Christ, the gospel, grace, the church, and the Christian age. The New Testament. Look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 23 through 25. Look at Galatians. Well, let me hear that first.
Galatians 3:25.
23-25.
But before faith came, we were kept under the law.
You hear that? We were kept under the law. That's the Old Testament system. You notice that? Before faith came. Before faith came. Let's watch it now. If we are going to be kept under it when faith did come.
Shut up unto the faith which should afterward be revealed.
Read on.
Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster.
Notice again. Not the law is.
Was.
The law was. Don't let me show you that God not only knows grammar more than we do, but God respects the laws of grammar. Read on, brother.
Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. That we might be justified by faith.
Not justified by the law, but by faith. Read on.
But after that faith is come.
After faith is come.
We are no longer under a schoolmaster.
What was the schoolmaster?
The law.
The law. So after faith, you know what it refers to as faith? Christianity. The gospel. Once that is come, we are no longer under the law. So you can see the dark error when men and women come in telling you must keep Sabbath and you must keep the law. You can, and some of you will listen to passage like this, and before long you backslide and gone to Satan in these man-made churches. Truly. Can you have it plainer than this passage? Before faith come, what is faith, Brother Mitchell? Jesus Christ, the gospel, Christianity. You were kept under the law. You were like a prisoner. But after faith is come, you are no longer under that system. Are we all there? Are we all there? Look at... what verse just that, brother?
25.
Okay, skip back up to 19, verse 19. I purposely held that verse.
Wherefore then serveth the law?
Why serve the law?
It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come.
You notice again the time element, till... That tell you it's just up to that point. That's right. You see, we are still on the fact, you know, when people say we don't believe in the Old Testament, we are giving you the grounds upon which we put it in its right place. There's a passage which says we establish the law. I think it's in Romans. Brother Myrie, I was going to ask you to read it. Well, read it, brother. Read it, brother. Read it for me. Even though you don't have the mic, I'm thankful to you that you remember exactly where we established the law. You know what? This passage is important because people, those people out there who want you to turn back to the beggarly element, that was nailed to the cross, they will bring up this passage and cause you to misunderstand. Let me hear it, brother. Do we then make void the law? That means make the law of non-effect. God forbid! Yea! You know what that means? It simply means we put the law in its right place. That's what that means. That's exactly what that means. It doesn't mean the law is still in force. It could never be. Paul is saying we who understand the purpose of the law, we put it in its right place. It was here to bring us to Christ. We accept that, but it could go no further. we put it in its right place. Oh, Lord of mercy. Let me go on a little more, another hour or two, and then the lesson will finish. Okay, brothers and sisters. The Christian age. We are still on the major division, you know. The Christian age began with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it will continue until the end of time or the end of the world. The Christian age. The age which the Bible says when the fullness of the dispensation of time. That is the culmination of time. The culmination of the various dispensations culminate in this final one. The Christian dispensation. And it will continue until the end of time. What do you mean the end of time, Brother Mitchell? When time ceases to be no more and eternity step in. And all of us are going there. All of us. That's why it is so wise to be a child of God. Oh God, people are dying. Young people are dying. Middle age are dying. Sometimes it comes to me, dear friends and people I know, nice people, that, you know, it sometimes it just come around, they are no more. And then, to remind me of my own mortality, I said, well, soon others will be thinking that of me too. That Brother Mitchell is not here anymore. Yes. One day we are going to step in eternity. But Jesus Christ gives us the chance now to get close to Him through His blood. A few more things and the lesson will be yours. Ladies and gentlemen, yes. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 11. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 1 and 2. Quick, brother. We are still on the point that the Christian dispensation or the Christian age began with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and it will continue after the end of time, the end of the world, when time changes from time to eternity. And all of us will be there. But it's important that you be there as a child of God. Let us hear the passages.
Now all things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition.
You listen this now.
Upon whom the ends of the world are come.
The what, brother?
The ends of the world are come.
You all hear that? You didn't hear that. That the end of the world is come upon us. It's the same thought being expressed in Ephesians. That the brother had read Ephesians 1, 9 and 10 when he talks about the dispensation of the fullness of time. That's right. You and I are living after this period ends. We step into eternity. So this is why it is called upon whom the end of the ages. In another place they call it the fullness of the dispensation of time. The end of the ages has come upon you and me. We are living in that period. Thanks be to God, you are a child of God. And if you are not, you can become one today. Look at Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 through 2.
God who at sundry times,
God who at many times,
and in diverse manners,
and in different ways,
speak in time past.
When?
Time past.
Unto who?
Unto the fathers by the prophets.
Everybody get that? I want you to notice something here. And when you are dealing with people like these people who are telling you to keep Sabbath and all that. Now, it talks about time past. Am I right? Huh? Watch here now. Uh-huh. Who in time past,
unto the fathers by the prophets,
spoke to the fathers by the prophet,
hath in these last days.
Last days. Huh? Now, this is not time past. This is the last day. That's the time of the gospel. Now, when God spoke in time past, it was to the fathers. He's speaking now to us through Jesus Christ.
Spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things.
Isn't that plain? The Bible makes a plain distinction between past time. That's the Old Testament. But it was primarily to the fathers. They are dead and gone. Then it tells you in these last days. That is referring to the gospel period. We must make these distinctions. The last statement, in fact, I may have to let it stay. Let me let it stay. Oh, Lord of mercy. Brothers and sisters, there's so much to look at. I beg that you learn as much as you can from this lesson. I must pick up on this point next week. Don't fail to bring somebody so that they can learn what you are learning. And don't fail to remember so that this will put you in a position to explain what you believe and what the Church of Christ teaches. And the basis upon which we teach what we teach. We believe in the entire Bible. But we learn, thank God, to make the proper distinction and separation in respect to both dispensation and the major division of the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, and that God is not speaking to us primarily in the Old Testament, even though we can learn a lot and God expects us to read it to learn something, but He's speaking to us primarily through the gospel of Christ. We'll get more into that next week. So much, but time. Are you here today? Not a child of God? Remember, we have come to the dispensation of the fullness of time. We are at the end of things. You need to cast your lot with Jesus Christ. And you can do it today. You can become a Christian today, believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, accepting that you are a sinner. What? You want to tell me how kind and nice and morally upright you are? You are still a sinner. Please, you are still a sinner. And don't let that kindness, morally uprightness, lead you to hell. Because a lot of time you can take so much pride in that, it hinders you from seeing your need for Christ. You need Christ. And today, you can become a Christian, believing that He's God's Son, repenting of your sin, confessing Christ's name, to show you are not ashamed of it, and getting baptized so that your sin can be washed away, not by the water, but by the blood of Christ. But without baptism, you cannot get under the influence of the blood of Christ. Today, in this last and final age of all the ages, the Almighty God is now gathering all things to Himself in Christ, in the church. Come now, as we stand and sing.